Maybe it's the eight legs. Maybe it's the floppy head. Maybe it's the beak hidden way inside all those legs and suckers. But we humans get a little freaked out about octopuses, which our next guest informs us is the correct plural of octopus. Plural or single, we're still a little shy about getting to know the octopus. Cy Montgomery was not. She wrote the book The Soul of an Octopus, a surprising exploration into the wonder of consciousness. Cy Montgomery is a naturalist and author with more than 20 nonfiction books for adults and kids under her belt, including The Good, Good Pig, a national bestseller. Cy holds lifetime achievement awards from the Humane Society and the New England Booksellers Association. Hi, Cy. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jeff. I'm thrilled to be here.
So what started the fascination with octopuses?
Well, you know, like most people who've been to a public aquarium, there's usually an octopus. And if there is, and you look at this octopus, you often have the feeling that the animal is looking back at you, much more so than a lot of the other animals that you'll see at the aquarium. And I had read that octopuses were remarkably smart. So I set about to see what it was like to be friends with somebody who was a mollusk, someone who separated from us. We last shared a common ancestor half a billion years ago. They're related to snails and clams. Clams have no brains. So I was real curious to see, can you be friends with someone like that?
And truly, it sounds like you fully felt at home with octopuses. Any idea why?
Well, yes. The first time I met an octopus, her name was Athena. She was about 4 feet long and maybe weighed, if she stood up, she would have been 4 feet long, but if she stretched out, she would have been more than 8 feet. She weighed about 40 pounds, and I went to the New England Aquarium behind the scenes and asked the aquarist if he could open up the top of the tank and meet her. And immediately, she turned bright red with emotion. She slid over from the corner of her lair, and her eye locked into mine. They have two eyes, but like we have a dominant hand, they have a dominant eye. Looked right in my face, and immediately her arms came boiling out of the water to greet mine. And without even thinking, I plunged my hands and arms into the freezing 47-degree salt water. And I felt all these suckers reaching up to taste me. They don't just touch you, they taste you. And certainly if a person had begun tasting me this early in our relationship, I would have been alarmed. And I realize that not everybody would have liked this. But for me, it said, here was somebody who recognized a fellow being, and I clearly felt that the animal was just as interested in me, as curious about me, as I was about her. And this other thing happened, Jeff, that also completely blew my mind. She let me pet her head. And a lot of octopuses don't want to do that when they just first meet you. And not only did she let me stroke her, but her skin turned white beneath my touch.
Which means what?
That means that she is relaxed. And so she felt calm with me. And that was enormous for me to be able to read that reaction. And it turns out that that's well known, that octopuses turn white when they're relaxed. And so this began a beautiful but too short friendship. They don't live very long. But it was the beginning of my octopus odyssey, which lasted for 3 years while I was researching and writing the book, and continues today. In fact, today, later on, I'm going to the aquarium in Boston again.
Really? To pet another octopus?
Well, actually, I'm going to be talking to some of the folks on the board. Right now, our octopus is actually off-site because they are enlarging the exhibit.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm delighted that octopuses there are going to have an even nicer, larger exhibit, and that we'll be able to have more than one octopus on display at once.
Right off the top of the book, you run through a quick list of octopus attributes. They really are alien to us. What are some of the things they're capable of doing?
Oh, man, you are so right, Jeff. Well, you know, you would have to go to outer space to find something stranger. They can squirt ink. They can change color and shape. They can pour their boneless body through a tiny opening so that a 100-pound octopus can squeeze through an opening the size of an orange. They have venom like a snake. They can shoot ink like an old-fashioned pen. They have excellent vision, and they can taste with all of their bodies, including their eyelids.
Wow. So like taste buds all over their bodies?
Well, chemoreceptors is what they call them. And it's interesting, you know, when I would hand a fish to one of the octopuses that I met, I noticed very quickly that they wouldn't take it at the tip end of their arm and then move their arm to their mouth, which is conveniently located in their armpit, you know, on the underside of the animal. Just imagine if that was the case with us. But what they'll do is they will move the fish like it's on a conveyor belt from sucker to sucker to sucker to sucker to sucker. And I thought, well, why is that? Why don't they just go ahead and eat it? Well, it's the same reason that we don't just take an ice cream cone and shove it down our throats. They're licking it. They're enjoying the taste of that fish, which I think is so lovely. And the suckers, I should tell you, too, among their superpowers. A single sucker, a 3.5 inch diameter sucker on a big male, can lift 30 pounds.
Wow. And you mentioned, though, sometimes you're trying to pry the arms off of you when you're visiting at the tank. It's kind of a, you know, you hear that suction cup broken sound.
That's right. And I would go home and have to explain to my husband why I had all these hickeys.
All right. Hickeys from an octopus, and then more details from Cy Montgomery's book, The Soul of an Octopus, A Surprising Exploration into the Wonder of Consciousness. We'll come back and talk more with Cy and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Later on in the program, we'll talk to the founder of Mystery Science Theater 3000, trying to get the show back on the air. This is the Jefferson Exchange, back in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is the naturalist and author Cy Montgomery, the author of a book called The Soul of an Octopus, a surprising exploration into the wonder of consciousness. Cy got to know some octopuses up close and personal at the New England Aquarium in Boston. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Cy, it seems like when you just stop to think a little bit about science fiction, particularly American science fiction, and it's not just recent stuff either, but a lot of fear of octopuses over the years.
Yeah, it's true. Throughout millennia, they've been depicted as monsters. And, you know, I think some of the stuff that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, it is a little off-putting to have hundreds or thousands of suction cups and be covered with slime, and, you know, the toxic venom is off-putting as well. But really, when you get to know them, and I got to know several individuals over the years, they're very distinctive. They're quite expressive. And I don't know what they feel in their three hearts, but they appear to be quite affectionate. They certainly love to play. Some are shy. I met three who were rather outgoing. But knowing them has really enriched and changed my life. Knowing somebody like that who's more closely related to a clam than to us, and knowing someone like that who has a rich, complex life and who's smart, that really changes you.
I got the feeling you got mildly insulted on behalf of octopuses for the fact that they are considered a relative of brainless clams.
Well, you know, being brainless doesn't necessarily mean you don't know anything. I know someone else, actually, who shares the exhibit with the octopus and has for years, who's a sunflower sea star, and he doesn't have a brain either. It is a male, by the way. But he does know stuff, and he knows where food is, and he also knows when he goes over and looks at if the octopus has laid eggs, and if he goes over to look at her eggs and she chases him away, he knows to stay the heck away after that. So they do know stuff even if they don't have a brain. But, you know, the octopus brain is so different from our brain that it's remarkable we even know it's the same organ.
No. I think you just answered a question that Jamie and Medford had, which is whether they have genders. They do, correct?
Oh, yeah, they certainly do. In fact, in the book, there's a steamy sex scene. And, boy, if you think Fifty Shades of Grey is something, try it with animals that can change color and shape. And, you know, 6 hearts beating as one. Each one has 3 hearts.
And 8 arms and suckers and the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of hugging and kissing going on there. I was explaining what I saw to my friend on a commuter train into New York, and I suddenly realized, oh, my God, everyone's really quiet.
Talking about octopus love up there in C-36.
Yeah, a lot of lube going on, too.
Oh, man. You say the idea of octopuses with thoughts and feelings is not universally accepted, though, Si.
Well, you know, it's only recently that people have accorded even chimpanzees, who share 99% of our genetic material and are so closely related to us, you can get a blood transfusion from a chimp. And yet, only recently have people accorded them the dignity of having thoughts and feelings. And we still feel that we can, you know, just enslave and imprison chimpanzees and subject them to medical experiments that we've outlawed, that we don't do to you know, convicted murderers. And these are innocent animals living their lives out in the wild, you know. To record thoughts and feelings to an invertebrate animal is a new idea for a lot of people. But it's something that it isn't just my idea. A few years ago in 2012, there was a group of neuroscientists who got together and signed the Cambridge Declaration on Consciousness, in which they declare that all birds and mammals and a number of other animals, including, they specifically mentioned octopuses, have what they call the neural substrate necessary to generate consciousness.
Huh. So does this mean that they're aware of who they are or that sort of thing? Or just
yeah. And but this is so interesting. Well, who are you? I mean, if you're an octopus, your brain contains 4/5 of your your brain has fewer of your neurons than your arms do. Okay, there's a lot of neurons in their brain, but there's even more in their arms. And their arms, if severed, will go off and do stuff. So their sense of self, they certainly have a sense of self, but it could be a very different sense of self than our sense of self. They could have a sense of multiple selves. And this is not, again, this is not my idea. This is different philosophers, including Peter Godfrey Smith, have come up with this idea. But they do know about self and other, and they also very clearly seem to have an idea of how others might be thinking different things than they are thinking. And this is a pretty advanced idea called theory of mind. And how do we know this? Because when they hunt, they try different strategies for different species and different individuals. And if one strategy doesn't work, oh, I'm going to turn colors and look like a rock. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to do a passing cloud display. Wait, I'm going to change my posture so I look like a bunch of sea snakes. Oh, no, I'm going to hide now because this is a scary moment. And they can do all this within a second. And they make those decisions based on what they think their prey or predator is thinking.
Wow, very malleable animals. We're talking about octopuses here on The Exchange. The Soul of an Octopus is the book by Si Montgomery. She's our guest. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join us by phone. If you'd like to join by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Some of the other behaviors that you talk about in the book, a little surprising on the one about where the handlers are saying, don't let the octopus get too close to your face. What's that about?
Well, they're very strong animals, and they could, I mean, ostensibly, they are strong enough they could pull your eye out, for example. You know, you could pull my eye out, but I know you're not, but, you know, we're both humans, and so I probably have a better idea that you're not going to do that than I would of what an octopus is mm-hmm. going to do.
So how strong did you find them when you first had your encounters with Athena? It sounds like she could get a good grip on you and start
yeah.
trying to pull you into the tank.
Yeah, in fact, that is what happened. Immediately, we were embracing each other, and she's tasting me, and she's sucking on me, and I can feel that she's giving me little hickeys and stuff. And soon I noticed that I was bent like a half-open book over the tank, and I realized what was happening, and that was she was pulling me into her tank. And I would have loved to have gone into her tank, but the tank wasn't really big enough to comfortably fit, and then there was a small matter of my needing to breathe air.
In something other than 47-degree water, yes.
Yeah, there was that, too. There were a few unhappy, inconvenient moments there. But you know what? It was because of her and the other octopuses that I met that I did learn scuba in my 50s because I was so desperate to get into their world. And in this way, the octopuses that I met introduced me to the planet. I mean, most of the planet. I think I'm a naturalist, but I lived half a century mostly just on the land. And while 70% of the surface of the globe is covered with water, 90% of its habitable space is covered with water. And it's octopuses that got me to explore that environment and helped me learn the art of breathing underwater.
We should have had you on with our guest last week. You would have loved Dr. James Delgado from the Marine Heritage Office.
Oh, wow, I sure would. You have some pretty great guests. I'm really honored to be on.
Well, glad to have you. Let's talk about how hard it is to keep an octopus contained. In addition to trying to pull people into the tank, they like to get out of the tanks, and it's pretty easy for them, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're infamous for this. People have been trying to keep octopus in tanks for a long, long time because they're just such interesting animals, and people want to share their homes with them. I looked into doing this myself, but decided to instead preserve my marriage. But because they can squeeze into tiny openings, and because they're so strong, they can get out of almost any container, and they can lift almost any lid. And frequently, even, you know, famous aquariums, including the New England Aquarium, have found their octopus has escaped. Sometimes they escape into other tanks and eat the inhabitants. And I have heard, although I can't verify this if you don't see it, that they've been known to sneak into another tank, eat the inhabitants, and then crawl back into their own tank where they sit there like, what, me?
nothing going on here. What are you looking at?
Right. At one aquarium, it was in Seattle, they introduced octopus into a large tank that had sharks. And they were very afraid, oh, gosh, what if the sharks hurt the octopus? And they were real nervous about this. But then the sharks started turning up dead. Not eaten, just dead. And they found out what was happening. They used, you know, motion-sensing cameras. And the octopuses were just preemptively murdering who they thought of as the thugs in the neighborhood. And they were killing the sharks.
Wow. How?
Well, they have those strong suckers, and they also have a beak, and they have venom glands.
Oh.
So all octopus have venom. Not all of it is deadly to people. Most of them aren't deadly to people. Some are. But they can... and sharks are pretty easy to kill because most sharks have to keep moving to breathe. And so all you have to do is hold one still for a long time.
Wow, which an octopus is eminently capable of.
I can totally, yeah.
Which raises a question that Jeannie in Medford sent in. She wants to know about size and how big is the head of, for example, an octopus that's 4 feet tall, wide, whatever you'd say. I mean, soccer ball size, cantaloupe size, what?
Yeah, well, interestingly, what we think of as the head is really the body, the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And that will get to be the size of like a round picnic watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Octopuses have been known to reach 300 pounds and an arm span of 32 feet.
Wow.
Now, none of them in captivity have grown to that size. And Athena, at about 40 pounds, you know, she was kind of in the watermelon range for her mantle.
Mm-hmm.
What we think of as the head is really the body cavity that has all the organs in it. It's just the area around the eyes that is technically the head, and that's much smaller.
Huh. And then we have another email here wondering if they can have heart attacks with those three hearts.
What an interesting question. Well, I don't think they have a problem with cholesterol. So
they have enough fish oil.
Right. They certainly eat a lot of fish oil. Yeah, I don't think that's a problem for them. But one reason it might be a problem for them is the same reason that humans did not get heart attacks until pretty recently, because usually something else killed you first. The whole world would be full of octopuses if all of the 100,000 eggs that a typical giant Pacific octopus might lay would hatch and survive to maturity, usually one or two will, and the rest of them get eaten alive by something. They usually don't die of disease because everybody wants to eat this delicious packet of unprotected protein.
Right. Cy Montgomery is our guest in The Exchange. Her book is The Soul of an Octopus. There's an interesting vignette in here about some of the things that octopuses do, including the ones at Oregon's Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport. They paint, is that right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, that was so cool. Well, you know, octopuses are so smart and so distinctive, and their personalities are so unique that you got to do stuff to keep them occupied. And there are enrichment handbooks, like at zoos for the chimpanzees. But at aquaria, you have them for octopus. And they frequently say, oh, you know, give them the same toys you give your children. Give them Legos. Give them Mr. Potato Head. Well, at Hatfield, they came up with this great idea of a series of levers that the octopus enjoyed pulling that would create a painting. And then they could sell that painting and use the money to support the octopus tank. I think that's brilliant. It made everybody happy. The octopus was happy. The aquarium was happy. And the aquarium goer that got to go home with a work of art like that was happy, too. And, you know, who is king and queen of color? Octopuses, you'd think. Although, interestingly, you know, their eyes don't seem to have color receptors.
Really? So they are color blind, but they can change an amazing amount of colors and patterns, too, right?
And they know what color they're changing. So how is that? Well, very recently, a protein called opsin was discovered in octopus skin. And it is possible that as well as tasting with their skin, they might be able to see with their skin.
Wow, that's some pretty amazing stuff. I want to talk about the individual octopuses you've known, because we talked about Athena. Athena did grow old and die, and you were sad about that. But then they brought a new kid in town, Octavia, in. And how was that relationship at first? How different?
Oh, wow. Well, Octavia, because they always want to have a pretty big octopus, she was an older octopus. She wasn't elderly or anything, but she was a pretty big octopus, and she'd been living in the wild, and she was pretty skittish when she first arrived. She didn't want anything to do with us, and the first time I tried to interact with her, she wouldn't interact with me at all, and finally, when she did, she seized me and really started pulling me into the tank, and it wasn't aggressive, but it was, it didn't feel like it was aggressive, but it did feel like it was exploratory, and it didn't feel like it was, you know, affectionate. It was like, what the hell is this? So, but the next time I went in to see her, I came in with a radio crew, and there were a whole bunch of us. At least five of us were interacting and petting her, and she was letting us pet her. She was letting us feed her. At least five of us were watching her and had our hands in the tank, and we went to give her another fish after a while, and we looked. She had stolen the whole bin of fish right out from under us, and not one of us had seen it.
It was like the magician trick. Watch this hand. Watch this hand.
I know. Exactly. I mean, it was amazing. She had outsmarted all of us, and I think she was laughing. But she was a great octopus, and she was the one who first got to show me what it's like when they lay eggs, and how assiduously they care for those eggs and how devoted they are to those eggs. She was a wonderful, sweet, she turned out to be a wonderfully interactive octopus. And at the end of her life, she tended those eggs for 9 months. And during that time, because when you lay eggs, you need to be in your lair where you can protect them, and you never leave your lair. In fact, mother octopuses don't eat after they lay eggs. They never eat again for the rest of their lives. And the last thing that they do, if they live long enough, is use their siphon to blow their darling babies out of that lair, and then they die. But so she did not interact with us or look up at us through water for 9 months. But then she got, with old age, her body started to break down, and she got an eye infection. And it was decreed that she had to be moved to behind the scenes where she wouldn't have the bright light glaring at her and all of these stimuli coming at her, and she had this awful infection. Well, we couldn't believe it, but after 9 full months of not seeing us, not touching us, she recognized us.
Wow.
And she greeted us, and she remembered us.
Amazing stories of Octavia and Athena and other great octopuses in the book, The Soul of an Octopus, A Surprising Exploration into the Wonder of Consciousness. Cy Montgomery wrote it and joined us today in the exchange. Cy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks so much, Jeff. Love being on.
All right, take care.